Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, and welcome to Hybrid, powered by Chinksy Media.
Yasum yasa.
Yes, we're back again for Mikel Arteta's pre-West Ham press conference. We host West Ham United on Saturday in our last match before the October international break. And Mikel Arteta has been speaking to the press ahead of the contest at the Emirates Stadium. The match will be Mikel's 300th as our manager, and he's been speaking about the milestone, team news, and much more at the Sober Realty Training Centre. On the latest on Gabriel's injury, we'll have to wait and see after training. We've done almost nothing today, so we'll see how everybody is. But we weren't too concerned about him. Yeah, the age-old Mikel will find out tomorrow after training. I mean, I talk about this every week where obviously Mikel would know whether Gabriel will play or not. But he's not going to tell you, as I always say. So he's obviously using the fact that there's another training session after this particular press conference to not kind of determine in the press conference whether Gabriel is fit or not, because we all know it's going to be either or, in the sense of Gabriel or Mosquera. But if Gabriel needs a little rest, a little breather, then I don't mind. But however, with West Ham struggling from set pieces, you would like to see Gabriel start. If it wasn't his prowess from set pieces, then I would have said, all right, maybe give Gabriel a little breather. He's probably going to go off to South America with Brazil during the international break. So give him a little breather and bring in Mosquera. But because of his prowess from set pieces, I would like to see Gabriel start tomorrow. And I'll be surprised if he didn't, to be fair. On Piero Hincapié's fitness, he will be available after the international break. So we've been trying to do everything as fast as possible, but this came too fast. Now we have the international break, and hopefully after that, he will have a couple of sessions with the team and be ready to go. Okay, so in terms of when he comes back, you're probably looking at the Brighton match in the Carabao Cup, which we'd probably look to start him in with Lewis Skelly next to him on the left. So, yeah, I mean, there's no rush to have him back, but it would be nice to kind of see him get some games under his belt, get some match fitness, and just to see what he can bring to the side, another dimension in terms of his thrust going forward. In a similar sense to Ricardo Calafiori. On the rest of the team's injury news, they're still out. Three words. Let's not elaborate. Okay, on Thomas Tuchel praising the character of our players called up to the England squad very much, and coming from someone like Thomas, who I know very well, for him to describe Miles Lewis-Skelly in that way, credit to the boy, the families and everybody that has been part of his education, because that's very, very important as well. And Miles, as you said, he hasn't played probably all the minutes that he wanted, but he's professional in the way he's engaged with the team, whether it's here with the national team, and this always gives you the possibility to count on him. Then we have played him in the Champions League, and I think he had a really good game. Well, I'll put it this way, I had an exceptional seat, the best seat I've ever had at the Emirates, literally in the halfway line, quite close to the action. And in the first half, Miles Lewis-Skelly was right in front of me, effectively, so I could kind of see him up close and personal. And I was really impressed with a lot of things about him. His domination of the winger, his physique, like actually seeing him quite close. He's in great physical condition, just turned 19. He is he's in his prime, and he's obviously one of the leaders in the team. You could see it. He's got huge influence on the squad. He's well respected within the team. He's embedded himself in the team. It's not like, oh, he's a youth player coming in. That was last season. Now he's a bona fide first team player. Probably slightly unfortunate to not be starting. However, what I do think, in recent weeks, he's closed the gap on Ricardo Calafiori, who started the season on fire and has kind of, in the last few games, not been as great. So it will be interesting to see if Miles can squeeze in a start tomorrow. However, what I think he will stick with Calafiori only just. And I would personally stick with Calafiori. So in terms of the manager, I think he will opt with Calafiori, and then we'll revisit it in the after the international break, of course. But yeah, Miles, if Miles was to start, I wouldn't be disappointed. You know, it's either or. But for me, Calafiori just edges it right now. So it's a fierce battle for that left back berth, but I'm going to go with Calafiori for now. On managing Bukayo Saka's minutes on England duty, we're always talking, Thomas and I. We're always in very fluent communication, both ways. First of all, from my side, to give him feedback on where each of the players are, and after, when they've been in camp as well, to reflect and learn how everything has gone. So I'm sure we'll do that. And so far, it's been very fluent and very positive communication. Yeah, I mean, Bukayo Saka came on, had a great cameo on Wednesday against Olympiacos. Surprisingly, he ventured on the left-hand side. I was thinking, what? Like, he hasn't been on the left-hand side of the pitch in about 8 years. So I was like, okay. Arteta's changing it up, being less, being less predictable. More dynamic in his kind of tactics, which is good. Good growth. But to see Eze on the right, once again, right in front of me, it was scope for improvement. So it's good to see that we have different options. So even if Madueke comes in now, because I don't like to see him on the left, his game gets affected. What he's best at gets limited when he's out there on the left. So it's either on the right or nothing, really. So if you can now have an option of Saka maybe swapping around, having a stint on the left, seeing how he goes there, putting crosses in for Gyökeres, then I'm all for it. On facing West Ham United, we want to continue to play and flow and dominate games in the manner that we are doing, and it's going to be a key fixture. Obviously, we learned in the last two seasons as well, because we had two defeats against them here. And it's something we need to put right. And tomorrow is another opportunity to do that. Yeah, I mean, over the years, West Ham have had a few wins at the Emirates. I can name four off the top of my head, and they all had the same kind of pattern to it, where the goalkeeper's always playing out of his skin, we don't score, and West Ham are resilient at the back, and pinch a goal on a counter-attack. And that's been a template that they've used over the last, let's say, 10 years or so. So I'll throw three games up. Some games out there. So obviously the Paye game, which was probably 2015, 2016 kind of time, where they beat us 2-0 on the opening day of the season at the Emirates. There was also, I think they were the first team to beat us at the Emirates, if I'm not wrong, or one of the first. So that was just going back to 20 years. But obviously the two recent ones where they won 2-0 2 years ago around Boxing Day, or on Boxing Day. And then last season, a few months ago, where they hit us on the break and beat us in a game that we toiled and was pedestrian, we was poor, we were just sluggish. And they caught us cold in a counter-attack and Jared Bowen punished us. So, I mean, West Ham have jabbed us and they've caught us a few times. But however, on the whole, I wouldn't really say West Ham are a bogey team. I mean, they have won a few games over the years, but if you actually look at how they do with us, their results against us in comparison to their results against other top teams, you'll understand that we actually, we dominate West Ham in terms of wins. We don't lose often. So let's say, I'll give you an example of if we played 30 times, we probably would have lost about 5. So,
want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
In all, we generally get the better of West Ham. It's just here and there they get a freakish result against us and they tend to be at the Emirates. On our recent home record against West Ham, which I've just mentioned, that's the difficulty of that. And the game that we're going to have to play tomorrow as well, with a new manager, and we know Nuno really well, the way he sets his team. So we expect a really tough match, as we're going to demand again 3 days later to come back and have the same performance to win the game. Yeah, I think we've stepped it up in the last few weeks. If you probably include the Man City game, just the manner of the performance in which we dominated, the Newcastle performance, which was our best performance of the season, and probably the first half against Olympiacos when we should have been out of sight. I feel like, yeah, we're getting to a good level now where we need to kind of step up a gear going into October. So after the international break, we can go on a run and potentially be top, because I think Liverpool will drop points in the coming weeks, if not tomorrow. On potentially, I've just mentioned that as well, on potentially going top of the Premier League, it's about generating momentum, and there are periods in the season that there are crucial, and tomorrow's game is a really important one for us, and that's why from the beginning we need to generate that in the stadium as well and go for it, because after we have 2 weeks break with the international week. So literally he's just mentioned everything I've said, wherein that we're searching for momentum, we could go top, and there's an international break, so I won't go over that again. On 300 matches as our manager, another blunt response. It's a lot. On his own win rate, continue to go, The only thing that matters now is to go on Saturday again and maintain the feeling and the things that we are doing really well, and hopefully many, many more to come. Yeah, I mean, Arteta's got a fantastic record. I mean, it befits winning the Premier League, but it's a shame that it's eluded him to this point. But you could say all the heartache and all the despair from the past on reaching over 1,000 matches in the future. The target is to win on Saturday and things will come. So I started on day one. I had no clue for how long and with who I was going to be sitting in this chair. And the only thing that I can say is thank you. And I enjoy every minute of it. And for many more to come, hopefully. 1,000 matches. It'll be interesting to see if he does 1,000 matches for Arsenal. Because if he's done 300 matches and he's been here about 6 years, then obviously 1,000 matches is a good 15 years or so, 10 odd years. And I can't really see Arteta being here that long. He'll probably look to manage in Spain or something. But I think the main thing is not leaving Arsenal without winning a Premier League or winning the Champions League, because that would be a disaster. That would just be a shame, a crying shame. But I think at the end of this season, there'll be something. On what would make the next 300 matches a success? I think I mentioned that. Again, winning. So you said about the winning rate, it's the highest. And even with that winning rate, we haven't won major trophies. So that shows the level. That's what you have to do, what has been done before. But this level is not enough. It has to be much more. And it is much more difficult. That's what we'll be trying to focus on doing. So yeah, I mean, what he's referring to is that the level's higher. I'm not really sure about that. But what I will say is fine lines. So when it comes down to the crunch, it's the fine lines that separate the top sides. So for instance, last season, there was a point in January where Liverpool were dropping points. Namely, a specific week where Liverpool drew with Aston Villa and Everton, and we had an opportunity to really close the gap. Andrea Berta's come in and blew the bag on numerous players of top quality. So it's all there for him to do it. It's just how he kind of channels that quality, channels that hunger, channels that ability every week, week in, week out, every 3 days. Win, 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 win. Rotate, rest. Make sure that player's playing. Make sure you share game time. I think Wanyeri probably is a bit unlucky not to have featured much in recent weeks. But I think he's a player that can come in at any point and there will be not much of a drop-off, if any. So I think it's his quad utilization, his tactics per game. I think if he can get that on point, then I think we'll be smiling at the end of the season. On Gabriel's scoring record, that's a fundamental part of a central defender dominating both boxes, and he does that probably like no one else, and that's the joy of having him on our team. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a player in world football that dominates both boxes. I mean, he is the dictionary epitome of what dominating both boxes means. So he's a scoring threat in the opposition box, especially from corner kicks and set pieces. And then in his own box, he's a pugnacious, domineering, dominating centre-back who intimidates invariably every centre-forward you come up against. Just ask Nick Voigtmeider from last week and Erling Haaland as well, to name but a few. On Bukayo Saka's growth in his 200th Premier League match. While you were doing your question, I visualised Bukayo playing as a left-back. That's the first thing that came to my mind against Bournemouth on my first game, so far from the pitch. Very far in his journey. Very far as well personally, and the person that he's becoming, the role he's got in the team, and we had a great journey together, and it's been a joy to see that every single day. Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable to see how Bukayo has developed in his 7-8 years in this Arsenal first team. I mean, he was always a winger, because I remember at the training ground, I used to see his name in a youth team and it was on the right wing, you know, with the board,
the circle on the board where it says where you do your tactics, on the tactics board. I remember seeing his name on there where I was at the training ground. So to see him go from that at the age of 17 to what he is now at 24, a key cog in the team, one of the best players in the Premier League, the best player in the Arsenal team, the diamond jewel, cherry on the top of the cake, one of the best players in world football, and soon to be signing a new contract, which I'm sure will take him into his prime and beyond. But I think the thing is, for players like him, Saliba, Rice, Gabriel, is winning. But the thing is, you can't just blame the club or manager, because if all of you players are together, you are top players. So if you're top players, you should be winning, right? Because you guys are the ones that go onto the pitch. So you can't always blame the manager. The onus is on you to perform. And if you do perform, then nothing will be in the way of you winning. So it's all on you guys. How much you want it, to learn from the mistakes and the pain and anguish from previous seasons and to channel it into success. On if a win over West Ham shows growth this season, yes, there are always moments when you have drop points, and that's certainly been one of those. And at home, we know the form that we need and the amount of games that we have to win to reach this target, the target that we have. And again, tomorrow is going to be a key match for us. So I guess Mikel is probably looking at 15, 16 home wins. I mean, our home form over the last few years hasn't been the greatest. We will drop points to also-rans, to mid-table sides, such as West Ham. In the last two seasons, we've lost to them. So we've already dropped points to Man City, but I mean, you could probably drop points in two or three games at home, maybe a couple draws, a defeat, and one draw or so. But I think we've got to go out to win every single game, and that's including the Liverpool game, because we owe them one, especially after they beat us at Anfield. On how he's got to 300 matches in charge, I feel very privileged. I'm really enjoying what I do with the people that I do it with, and we know it's in our job that winning a lot of football matches is important if you want to stay in a job. And the other one is, while we are here doing this, make sure as well that we enjoy our profession, because it's got, in my opinion, some of the most beautiful things that you can experience in life, and trying to do both things at the same time. Well, I think winning and...
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Staying in the job and enjoying the job are inextricably, invariably linked together. So it's like, winning breeds happiness, success, a great camaraderie in the camp, a good team spirit, and that makes everyone happy. So it's like a string, piece of string. The winning's one side, the happiness the other. However, if you're not winning, you're constantly coming second, constantly fluffing your lines when opportunity to strike and win is there, and you're missing, then you get frustrated. Players become disheartened, disillusioned, wondering if it's ever going to happen. I mean, if we don't do it this season, that would be a crying shame. But I doubt that will happen, because I just think that the type of players' mentality that we have, they will not allow another season of, let's have it right, failure. I mean, it's a strong word, failure, but it's only winning, victory, or failure. There's nothing in between. So one team wins the league, the rest fail. On the journey over the last 5 years as manager, you see the rotation in the squad has been phenomenal. But at the end, you get to where you get to thanks to everybody who's been on the journey. Some people, they've been for 6 months, some others for 3 years, some others for 18 months, but they've all been critical and very important, sometimes to help the team, sometimes as well to help you learn the direction that you have to take in and what the moment is as well to change and reevaluate all the things that you're doing. And I'm very grateful for everybody that has been part of this journey because they've all been very important. It's interesting to see the time frames that Arteta's chosen to use. So he's mentioned 3 years, 18 months, and the players from the summer. So in terms of the 18 months, we've got a few players that have been here in that time frame, but I think the vast majority have been here for 3 years or beyond. So the Rices of this world, and so on and so forth. But obviously, I think we brought in eight players in the summer. So I think a good few of them are in the starting lineup. So it's a good mix of the kind of newer players as well as the players that have been here for a number of years. So, yeah, it's just about them kind of adapting, assimilating to this squad, the tactics, what we're about, and just giving their strengths and adding their strengths to what is already a successful side. And if he needs luck or to be a better manager to win trophies, probably you need a bit of both in many senses, because with the amount of points that we have generated or the win rate that you've discussed, other managers have won titles, big titles. We have won titles, but we won the biggest ones. And that's it. Sometimes in sports, you have to congratulate somebody else who has been even better than you. You can be really, really good or excellent, but somebody has been extraordinary. This league is the level that demands, but certainly we are going to try to get that. Okay, so I think in some of my previous podcasts, I've seen some subtle shots at Alex Ferguson. Clearly, this is another one, because he said other managers have won titles with the points that we've got when we haven't won it. And obviously, a lot of Manchester United sides would lose 5, 6, 7 games and still win the league. And they're probably getting around between 70 and 80 points of winning a league. So he's obviously referring to them. But since Pep Guardiola came in 10 years ago, he's upped the standards and levels of, in terms of what you can get away with in terms of winning the league. So obviously I asked the question a few weeks back in terms of how many league matches can you afford to lose and still win the league. And I think we kind of came to the conclusion 4 or 5, depending on how many games you draw. But I came to the conclusion that you can, at worst, you can afford to not win 10 games. But if you're not winning those games, you can't have a inferior record to the second place side, if that makes sense. So the team that you're challenging from the title, your main rivals, cannot pick up 4 or more points against you if you're going to lose 5, 6 games. That's how I've summarised that. On not facing Graham Potter this weekend, a little word for Graham, because I think he's an exceptional manager and he's done it in various contexts in his career for a long, long, long time. Then as a man, I'm talking to a lot of players and people who have had the joy to work with him, the way they're describing him and the time that they've spent together. So it's sad to see him go, especially with some of the things that happened on social media and a lot of things that I think, in my opinion, to have the best league in the world, we have to improve. To have the best league in the world, we have to make sure that the people who are so important in our league are taken care of in the right way, and I think all as a whole. I think we can do better on that, and hopefully we can learn from that. Okay, I mean, Graham Potter's struggled with his last few managerial jobs. I'm not really sure if he gets another Premier League stint in terms of how badly he's done. But that goes back to what I was saying with Mikel Arteta's giving himself so much credit in the bank that he's banked himself a number of top jobs in the future if he so were to choose. However, with Potter, he's done the adverse and had the opposite effect, where he started off really well with Östersunds, then went to Swansea and had a stint at Brighton, did really well there, which earned him the Chelsea move. The Chelsea move didn't go to plan. He took a few years out and then was at West Ham now. And I didn't think that was the best fit for him. So now, obviously, he's been fired. And they brought in Nuno Espirito Santo, who is going to have West Ham setting up in a defensive manner, probably a 3-5-2, playing on the break in the transition. So it'll be interesting to see how we can cope with that tomorrow, especially as we just missed Nuno when we played Nottingham Forest. But this is his second game with West Ham, having played Everton on Monday. On Victor Gyökeres and Martin Odegaard's relationship on the pitch, as you say, we haven't seen enough for different circumstances, especially because Martin hasn't been available much this season for different reasons. But there is something as well. They have that personal chemistry, and hopefully with more time on the pitch and more understanding, that will flourish as well. Yeah, that's true. I mean, the through balls that Martin's been playing in recent weeks have been out of this world. So I think, especially with Eze on the pitch, it will free up Odegaard on the opposite side, as they won't be able to afford to double up on him because you've got Saka and Eze hopefully flanking him. However, in terms of Odegaard and Gyökeres, they probably got that Scandinavian chemistry. They're probably friends off the pitch. You know, you got the Norwegian in Odegaard, and then you've obviously got the Swede in Gyökeres. So they're probably friends in the pitch, playing next to each other. So there's a link there.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
And obviously, like I mentioned, the through balls that Odegaard's starting to play, and it looks like he's resurrecting his best form from a few years ago. On finding the freedom for players within such a tactical system, I think there's a way around it. I think you have to create a system and a structure around the qualities of the players, and with our attacking players especially, we try to do that. Even with our defenders, we know certain qualities that we have in the defensive line, and we will pick certain ways to press or certain ways to defend to force people in relation to where we want the ball to end. With Martin, it's very clear that we want the ball in certain areas with him, because when he's able to do that, he's a real threat. Yeah, you want Martin between the lines with the ball to feet, with players running off him. Martin from Wednesday is the ideal Martin, where Martin had space because Olympiakos didn't play with a low block. So he was threading balls for fun. I mean, he was fantastic on Wednesday, and rightfully so got the man of the match. Adding to his cameo against Newcastle on Sunday, he's had two great games, and I think that's probably earned him a start for Saturday. On switching Bukayo to the left wing against Olympiakos. With Bukayo, we decided in the last few minutes to change sides for two different reasons, and because he's on his natural foot on that side, especially against teams that are constantly pushing their fullbacks and the space is wide, he's a real threat.
He's able to get down the byline and put balls in to the box for people like Victor Gyökeres to fight for headers. So I think that's a good dynamic to add. On if Jurrien Timber is the most underrated player in the league. I don't know, because I rate him a lot. So I don't know how people rate him. Hopefully a lot, because when you are talking about a total player, he has almost every quality that you want from a defender. Well, do you know what? I'll go one up on that. I think Jurrien Timber's got almost every quality that you want from a modern day footballer. That man is an absolute phenomenon. World class fullback. And I was saying to one of the fans that I sit next to on Wednesday, I don't actually know if Jurrien Timber is primarily a centre half playing at right back or a right back playing at right back? I really don't know. So, yes, it's amazing to know that we've got a player of such quality. And I think him, William Saliba and Gabriel are all on the same wavelength. Like, the three of them are shoe-ins for the starting 11. Whoever we play, they are three of the best players in the world football in their positions, for sure. No doubt about it. There's obviously a debate going around is in terms of who can say they're even close to Julian Timber in the Premier League in terms of quality. I think the only one you could bring up is Reece James, but because of his fitness issues, then you probably got to go for Timber. I mean, I rate Reece James a lot. But yeah, I'll probably side with Timber on that one, to be fair. Only just, but I think Reece James is top. And then you've got people like Ola Aina, but I don't think Ola Aina is as good as Timber. No way. But he's a top player as well. So yeah, Julian Timber for me is underrated, because I think outside the Arsenal fan base, you don't really hear him mentioned a lot, but he's a player that delivers 8 out of 10 performances week in, week out. On the minutes for Ethan Wanyeri and Miles Lewis-Skelly, I work with the boys and I can provide, in the context that the team is playing at the moment, Ethan has not played 2 games in the Premier League very early because of an injury to Martin as well. He played in other competitions and he will play more. With Miles, it's the same, but sometimes it's form, sometimes it's the fact that we want to do certain things in relation to the position, and that's it. What I want is for them to be in a state that they are in. They have to be used, and when they are playing, whether it is to start a game or for a few minutes, they are fully ready, and both of them have been really good at that. For me, okay, knowing how both players' character is, I think Ethan is more reserved. He's quiet outside his circle, I think. So if you're not in Ethan's close circle, I think he's quiet. Whereas Miles is more outgoing, he's more oomph, you know, he's, when he walks in the room, you know he's there kind of thing. More flamboyant character, confident boy. However, in terms of not starting, for me, for what I see of Ethan, what I can imagine his character to be, I don't think he's a player that enjoys not playing. I don't think he'll be happy that he's not getting the minutes he feels he deserves, and I feel that he deserves. As I mentioned already, I feel like he should have got some game time. But I agree with Arteta in the fact that there are many games to come. He will start against Brighton in the League Cup, guaranteed. And obviously there's Champions League games in which he's going to start as well. Champions League is of the highest level. The opponents that we play against may not be of the highest level, but it's an opportunity for you to stake your claim and show that, okay, cool, you feel that you should be starting, we'll go and prove it. So it's just about biding his time, patience. He's 18 years old, Miles is 19, whereas I think, as I mentioned earlier, Miles is close to probably getting back in the team, but when he does now, he has to kind of make sure he doesn't lose it, because I think the reason he did lose it is probably small positioning errors where teams would probably look to use his when he runs forward to exploit the space that he leaves behind. So I think in terms of how Calafiori's come in, Calafiori's improved defensively immensely this season, and he had a fantastic start to the season. On if he'll continue to rotate his squad. With the schedule that we have to play Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. So the last time we played 3 games in 7 days is a while ago. Some of the players haven't played ever 3 games in 7 days. So we need to manage that, because they can come from a period of a lot of load. We have had 2 very, very high games. So if the schedule continues like that and they don't give us an extra day, we're going to have to do that, yes. Okay. Depends what you class as rotating. What you mean, 1 or 2 or 5 or 6? Because I don't really see 1 or 2 as rotating. Maybe it's a chance to give certain players minutes that won't kind of affect the quality of the first team much. However, I feel like, as I mentioned in one of my fan cams during the week, I feel like there's a chasm growing between Ben White and Jurrien Timber in terms of Ben White was getting given, it was being given a runaround by Daniel Podence. However, as soon as Timber came on, that was put paid to, you know, that was put to bed. Timber's a terminator. So we've got to keep an eye on that one. I'm worried about Ben White because it's, everyone's saying, oh, he's not fit, not match fit, looking a bit rusty. However, how will that change unless he starts? But when he does start, he looks rusty. But then Timber's playing for exceptionally well. So something's got to give with that one. So that's a, one to keep an eye on. In terms of on the other side, there's fierce competition between Miles Lewis-Skelly and Ricardo Calafiori. And I feel like in terms of tomorrow, either one could start. If Miles came in, I wouldn't be surprised. However, don't forget Miles was sent off against West Ham in March. On if the team is clicking on the pitch, I think it's been clicking for a while. If it clicks, it means to win it. Then hopefully, this is the year. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with him. I mean, what do you mean by clicking? Because we're a very good team, but if we're not winning the team, if we're not winning the league, then what's the point of being a very good team? So, you, yeah, I agree with that. It only clicks if you win, right? Because what good is it clicking if you're not winning?
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
One love.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.